As a family in the Lord, we love one another deeply, which means sometimes we mourn with one another, we rejoice with one another, and sometimes we encourage one another, and sometimes we exhort one another. So if you don't know what the meaning of exhortation or exhort is, it means to strongly urge, comfort, or encourage someone to pursue a faithful cause or action. Strongly urge, a sterk aanmoediging. Nie net 'n bemoediging nie, maar 'n aanmoediging. So I believe this morning the word is a strong exhortation from the Lord to our hearts. I pray that our spirits and hearts will have ears to hear the word of the Lord this morning in such a way that it will change our lives and the way that we live. Can you say amen on that? So yeah, that's why we believe this morning we're going to hear the word of the Lord, and from that we will respond in worship to the Lord. The theme of this word this morning is looking and hastening. Looking and hastening. So that's the theme. But let's start with his word as the foundation of the word this morning. So we read in Matthew 24:36-39. There you are. Thank you so much. That's ESV. I've got the New King James Version. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, plowing and sowing, doing their business, going on vacation, playing rugby, catching fish. Normal activities. That's nothing wrong with it. It's just normal activities. They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. So also. So friends, this morning I believe it's time for us as a church to again become so aware of the time that we live in. Because it's possible for us to go through the busyness of life without any awareness of the time that we live in. Any awareness. We just go on and we think to ourselves, maybe in the next 30 years or 40 years, Jesus will come. So I'm just going to go on with my life. And we're not looking and hastening. Looking for and hastening the coming of the Lord. So there's scripture for it. And I will try to explain to you what the Lord just put in my heart regarding looking and hastening. So let's read the second piece of scripture. 2 Peter 3, 1 to 15 and 17 to 18. So, beloved, Peter wrote this to his people. Beloved, I now write to you the second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Does it sound familiar? I mean, we live in that time. Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old created, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed, perished by flood, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come, and listen to this, as a thief in the night. in which the heavens will pass away. Just imagine, for a few moments, this is what's going to happen when the Lord comes again. It will happen. Are you guys okay? It will, sorry? Okay. The Lord will come as a thief in the night. Unexpected. That's what it is. Unexpected. And the second is, where am I now? Yeah. In which the heavens will pass away with a great noise. The heavens will disappear with a great noise. And the elements. So, what are the elements that the word is talking about? What is it? The elements, that the creation itself, the water, and all those things, will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, therefore, knowing this and seeing this, that's what Peter says to us as a church. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? And then these words, looking for and hastening the coming of the Lord. Looking for, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless, and consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Verse 17 to 18, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. So listening to this, I mean, it's in no uncertain terms, what Peter tried to do is to bring a deep awareness by his disciples and the people he spoke to and wrote to, that we will always be ready for the day of the Lord. And I think it's time that we as Christians, that therefore this word this morning, it's time that we encourage one another or exhort one another again. How ready are we for the coming of the Lord? How aware are we of it? Or do we think it might happen in future somewhere? I don't think that it will happen in my time. So what does looking for really mean? Verwachten, in Afrikaans is it 'n verwagting. Het ons regtige verwagting in ons hart? En kan ons die koms van die Here bespoedig? Dis die goed wat ons vanoggend gaan probeer om te antwoord. So looking for, what does looking for the coming of the Lord means? A constant awareness and expectation. 'N konstante bewustheid en 'n verwagting dat die Here gaan kom. As Christene, we should live as Christians. This should be part of our lives. I mean, it's not something out there that some of us have it and some of us don't have it. I mean, all of us should have this constant expectation and looking for the return of the Lord, looking for the day of the Lord. It should be part of our makeup. It should be internal spirit consciousness. That's what it is. Looking for the coming of the Lord. If it's not there, I mean, that's why we're here this morning. If it's not there, then we need to come to a place and, Father, ignite our hearts again and bring that total awareness in our hearts that the day of the Lord is coming soon. So some of the last verses in the Bible call out for Jesus to come. Revelation 22:17 says, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let them who hear say, come. And let them who thirst, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. But the Spirit and the Bride, the Spirit and the Church say, come. When last did you say, did you tell Jesus, ask Jesus, come Lord Jesus, come. Come soon, please. We need you. I mean, that should be part of our relationship with the Lord. Come, Lord. Come, please. Maybe we don't do it because we're not really ready. Maybe. So the Lord will help us this morning So that we should be ready for when he comes. We should have this desire in our hearts and this outcry every day, actually looking for is not just the expectation, but actually looking for, maybe today Jesus is coming back. Maybe. No, brother, it will not happen in our lifetime. How do you know? It will be. It can be. It can be tomorrow. Looking for, Jesus is coming back on the clouds. He's coming. So, it's actually so much more than just looking for his coming. It's longing for it with a great expectation. As if we say, it is almost as if we say, Lord, we cannot wait any longer. Do you really feel that inside of you? Lord, I cannot wait any longer. I want you to come. Please come. So I'm not someone who spends hours on media to know what's going on in the world. I mean, I'm not that person. But I'm also not someone who plugs my ears to become oblivious to the world out there. We need to know what's going on around us. I'm not saying you need to watch media 10 hours a day. That's not what I'm saying. But you need to know what's going out there. You need to know what's going out in the world, going out there. I mean, there's a great chance that the American-Iranian war can escalate in a world war with nuclear weapons, which will have the potential to destroy the world with fire. You know that. There's a great chance that it can happen. And we need to be aware of that. As children of God, we have to read the signs in the time that we live in. And if you know the Bible, you will also realize that the current world cannot be more descriptive than what the Bible says it will be before he comes. It cannot be more descriptive. You go and read Matthew 24, the prophecy of Jesus himself, how it will look just before he comes back again, and in 2 Timothy 3, how this the state of the human race will be on earth. The world also describes in no uncertain matter what will happen to Israel in the last days, and we will do good to watch them carefully. So what am I saying? I mean, it's like in the days of Noah, they were just going on with their lives. Something happened. I mean, this man, Noah, he built the ark for 120 years. That's how long it took him to build the ark. Not just in 120 hours, 120 years. And the people saw what he's doing. And he told them, the Lord told me to build this ark. But nothing changed in their hearts. So they were aware something is going to happen. But they were just oblivious to that fact. And they didn't even recognize that the Lord is going to do something. So it's the same with us. I mean, we're so busy and we hear all this stuff. We hear of wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes. It's on the news. But you know what? We lost our sensitivity to this. It's just another war. It's just another earthquake. It's just another drought. It's just another whatever. And we don't realize that Jesus said we need to be ready for when this happens. So when I preach this word this morning, is because, my brother and sister, I want you to help me to be ready. And I want you to stay ready for when Jesus comes. I mean, that is a relationship with one another. We encourage one another in this. Yeah. Are we looking at the heavens often and longing, looking for the day of the Lord? Or are we so busy with our own lives and business that we actually not even think of it? So then the meaning of hastening, bespoedig, kan ons dit gouer maak? Kan ons dit gouer maak dat Jesus kom? Kan ons? So, kom ons kyk 'n bietjie na dit. But hastening can also mean, the meaning of hastening. I believe God the Father only knows the day of our Lord, that he is sovereign and will decide on the day and the hour. Amen? Only God the Father knows. But hastening can also mean this. If the word says that we can hasten the coming of the Lord, that's what Peter said. It can also mean this, that we will have such a desire for him to come that if we could at all be able to hasten Jesus' coming, by whatever means, we would do it. As ons het enigstens sou kon bespoedig, sou ons het gedoen het. But this one over here is what I want to communicate to you this morning. Or it can mean that we as a church live in such a way, godly, holy, prepared, surrendered, mature, devoted, fruitful, loving Him deeply and intimately. It's possible that when we live in such a way that God Himself cannot wait to come. So if you understand the whole thing of a Jewish marriage, and I don't have the time to explain it to you this morning, but you understand it, that God the Father, when the bride is ready, He calls the bridegroom to come and fetch His bride. When the bride is ready. So in a Jewish context, it takes a year for the bride to get herself ready before the bridegroom can come and fetch her again, after she committed to get married to Him. So in that context, can we hasten the coming of the Lord? I believe so. When we as a church have done what we are supposed to do, we fulfilled our purpose and we love Him deeply and we live a holy life without any spot or blemish. When we become mature and in that place, I believe the Father will call the bridegroom and say, go and fetch your bride. It's time. So it depends. In a certain way, it depends on how we live as church, how we reach out to the Lord in the time that we live in. The bridegroom wants to be united with the bride. Jesus wants to be united with His church. The church is the bride. So, in the light of what we shared just now, this is the question. Whatever it is, the question to our heart should be, in what spiritual state of being will Jesus find us when He comes back again? That's a question that we need to ask ourselves as individuals and as church. If Jesus comes back again today, it's possible. In what spiritual state will He find you? In what spiritual state will He find the church? That's the word to our house this morning. And the word is very prescriptive of how we should be before Jesus comes back. So it's the first sign of those who awaits Him eagerly is absolutely preparedness, voorbereidheid, wanneer Jesus kom. Preparedness. So the question is, are you really prepared for Jesus when He comes back? Are you really prepared? Matthew 25:1-13, let's read this. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. So interesting, just for background information, it's not like a lamp filled with oil. It's more a torch, a fackel, with a piece of cloth on top. They dip it in the oil and then they light it. So that's the lamps, actually what it is. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. And Jesus himself, he told this parable, and he said, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. This comes from the Lord. It's a warning that we should be absolutely prepared. The lamps burnt all the time until the bridegroom came. The lamps burnt all the time. It wasn't put out. He came in the middle of the night when no one expected him, and the wise virgins brought extra oil, the foolish just enough. Being prepared means to have more oil for our lamps than we need for just a moment, so that when the bridegroom, when Jesus comes, we will not have to go and look for it or depend on others for my salvation, for there will not be enough time for it. Do you have enough oil? Are you prepared? Do you have enough oil in your lamp? So that when the time comes, when Jesus comes, that you don't have to run to someone else. There will be no time to run to your pastor. There will be no time to run to someone else and say, and ask this person to help you because Jesus came. It will be too late. It will just between you. It will be just between me and the Lord. Albert Barnes is a guy that he lived many, many years ago. He says this: the conduct of those who were wise refers to those who are prepared for the coming of Christ, prepared by possessing real piety and not being merely his professed followers. The conduct of those without excess oil expresses the conduct of those who profess to love him but are destitute of true grace and are therefore unprepared to meet him. In other words, the foolish have a form of godliness. They had a form of godliness, but no power, no Holy Spirit. No overflowing oil for themselves. They need others to shine. They need oil from others to shine. According to the Bible, that will be too late. Are you really prepared this morning? Len, are you prepared for the coming of the Lord? Do you have enough oil inside of you? There's a question to you this morning as well, from the Lord himself. Are you really prepared to meet him when he comes? When we hear this word, there's still enough time. You will not hear this word when he came. But if you hear this morning, and you hear this word, then there's still enough time to be prepared, to make yourself ready for when Jesus comes. So the second sign, I believe, that will accompany those who are looking for the return, for his return, will be people who are totally surrendered to the will of God and his lordship. Are you totally surrendered to the lordship of Jesus? Jesus said himself in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And then in Luke 6:46, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Or Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Total surrender means that we will die to ourselves completely. Most of us who call ourselves Christians in this age that we live in struggle to let go of our, listen carefully. Most of us who call ourselves Christians in this age that we live in struggle to let go of our preferences, ons voorkeure, our opinions, and our selfish motives. We struggle to let go of that. And the most important, and the dictates of our own hearts. The Lord commanded Jeremiah and Ezekiel to prophesy against his own people because they walked according to the dictates of their own evil hearts. What is dictates? What is dictates? Dictates is just like dictated to follow. In other words, jy word voorgeskryf. Your heart skryf vir jou voor. Jesus never said we must follow our own hearts. Never. If you find that in the Bible, please show it to me. Never. In fact, Proverbs warns us against our own hearts, which are deceitful. We have the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, and we should follow Him. We should walk in love, be convicted by the Holy Spirit, and surrender to His Lordship. In everything, listen carefully. Christianity is not a preferred sideline activity for religious people. If He is not Lord of all, He is not Lord at all. That's what it means to be surrendered to Jesus. So let's challenge one another this morning. Can I do it? For example, our devotion to the Church of Jesus, or the lack of it, is it because of our opinions, our preference, or because Jesus says so? Does it make sense when I ask that question? Your or my devotion to the Church, is it because Jesus said so, or because you prefer it that way? This is who I am. This is how I think about it. I will just give a part of me to be devoted to the Church. or just a part of my time. Just enough. Just enough. Who you're listening to? You're listening to the dictate of your own heart, because we believe what we need to live out is what we find in the Word. The Word should be descriptive of our devotion to the church. What about the way that we worship? The way that we worship. I mean expressive worship. I was Afrikaans farmer, man. I come from the Free State. So I never worshipped more than just putting my hands in my pockets and just my lips was moving up and open and close. That's all. Until I came to realize God wants me to give myself in worship. And it's not my opinion. It's not my preference. It's His will. So it's not what I want to do. It's what He wants to do. It's what how He sees it. So when I wave my hands, it's because He wants me to do it. It's a sign of total surrender. Sometimes, it's not all the time. You don't need to do it just because we as a church do it. You have to be convinced by the Holy Spirit in your heart. That's the way to worship. Or you are convinced, I can sit at the back and I worship just like I want to, because I prefer it this way. And this is my opinion. Hello? Total surrender means you give yourself totally to what the Lord wants. When it comes to worship, when it comes to devotion to the church, when it comes to membership in a church, you give yourself, Lord, you ask the Lord, Lord, what is your will regarding membership of a local church? What is your will regarding joining a community in the week? What is your will when it comes to the way that I worship? What is your will, Lord? Your will is expressed in the Word. You can go and read the Word. Everything that we do as a church, we believe, we find it in the Word. If you can find it in the Word, the thing that you do, if you can find it in the Word and you can confirm it through the Word, then you can do it. Otherwise, you need to follow Jesus. You hear what I'm saying this morning? Totally surrendered means totally surrendered to His will. What about your finances? What about tithing? What about tithing? I'm not so convinced. It's not my opinion, and I prefer just to give so much as I want to give. What about your relation with your wife? Yeah, what about that? What about your relation with your kids? What about your time? Is He Lord of your time? Or do you prefer to have total management over your own time? Or did you surrender that to the Lord? What about your motives? That's what Jesus meant when He said, that's what God meant when He said, my people walk after the dictates of their own evil hearts. You cannot follow your heart. You cannot say, listen, this is who I am. This is what I'm convinced about. This is not about who I am. It's about what He wants. That's what lordship is. How can you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things I tell you to do? I mean, forgiveness. I can go on and on and on. Just to entertain something in your heart regarding unforgiveness towards other people or leaders in the church or whatever. If you entertain that thing and you walk with it in your life and you say to yourself, you know what, I choose. I will not be angry towards this brother, but I don't know if I totally forgive him. Ek sal nie langs om een vuur sit en braai nie. If you choose to do it, what you actually do is you follow the dictates of your own heart. You're not following the Lord. That's what it is. And I believe Jesus comes back for those who are totally surrendered. It's not the one or the other one. It's all these signs. Are you ready for His coming back? I want to be ready. Come on. We can preach an easy gospel. Jesus forgave you all your sins. When He comes back, He's looking for those who absolutely trust in Him. And He is coming back for those who absolutely trust in Him. That's why He said, when I come back, will I still find what? Faith on earth. Faith in what? Faith in me. Not faith in your own faith. Faith in Jesus. That means Lord, I will only be with you one day in your kingdom because I totally trust in your salvation for my life. I totally trust in the blood of Jesus. I totally trust on the works that you've done on the cross. It's completed, it's finished. That's faith. That's what it is. The only reason that you one day will be accepted in the kingdom of heaven is because you trusted in Jesus. Nothing that you did and nothing that you haven't done will bring you in the kingdom of heaven. Nothing. Only your faith. By His grace, through faith, we are saved. Ephesians 2. He's looking for such a people. And we should be ready when He comes. Lord, I want to put my faith completely in you. And the last thing then, the last thing that God is looking for when He comes back is that He will find, He will be looking for people who are deeply in an intimate relationship with Him. Not just being religious. Because church can become a thing of where you just go through the motions, you go to church and you're just being religious. But there's a connection with the Lord. Knowing one another means that we really know the deepness of God. That's what it is. For as long as that we live on earth and for eternity, we will be on one central purpose, and that is to know the Lord. And the thing is, does He know you? Do you really make time with the Lord Jesus? Do you really spend time? Do you really koop jy die tyd uit? Do you really make time to go and sit with Him and open up? Not just doing a Bible study and pray for whatever, for South Africa. But does He really know you? Are there openness in the spirit between you and the Lord so that you can hear Him speaking to your heart? It happens usually when you speak to Him that He will speak to you. He's able to do it. Do you really hear Him in your heart? Are you ready for this? That's what I believe this morning. That's the word this morning. That we need to be ready. And stay ready and help other people to become ready. So this word is for me, first and foremost, but it's also for you. And when you have this word, it's for you. You have the opportunity to go and share it with someone else. It's for you to speak to your children and ask them, are you ready to meet Jesus? Are you ready? Or, I mean, you help them with so many things. Do you really help your children to get connected with Jesus daily? Walking an intimate relationship with Him, not just come to church on a Sunday. Because unfortunately for many people, their only weekly devotionals are Sunday mornings. Further than that, there's nothing. They don't walk with the Lord. So I'm not condemning this morning. I hope you hear my heart. All I want to do is to allow the Lord this morning to bring an awareness back in our hearts that He's coming soon. And we actually should greet one another like the Christians greeted one another many, many, many years ago. Maranatha. Jesus is coming. And they reminded one another to stay prepared. Maranatha. To stay prepared. To looking and hastening. Looking out every day and expecting. Looking at the clouds and listening. Maybe you hear the trumpet call of Jesus. He Himself will blow the trumpet when He comes. Are you ready? Father, I thank you for this morning. Can we have some music? Can we have some? Just let's stay in the spirit and just the worship team can come to the front if they want to. Yeah. Thanks. Father, thank you that, Lord, thank you for the wonderful scriptures. When we will see you again, Lord, Lord of lords and kings of kings, when you come again on the clouds, Lord, we want to be ready to meet you in the air as your church, as your bride. Father, therefore, I pray this morning that you will help us, Lord Jesus. that we will lay down ourselves before you. Our preferences, our opinions, and the dictates of our own hearts, that we will follow you, Lord. So that when you come again and you find us, that we will be people full of faith, and that we will have a love relationship with you, Lord. So come and help us, Lord Jesus, by your Spirit. Yeah, this morning we want to turn back to you, Lord, with our hearts. Thank you that you love us so much, Lord. This is not, it's not a law, it's not condemnation. It's a cry from your side for the bride of Jesus to make herself ready for when you come again. So we want to make ourselves ready, Lord. You help us by your Holy Spirit. We cannot do it by ourselves. Father, I know that you help us to be ready when Jesus comes again so that we can meet him as the bride. So I'm not going to make an altar call this morning, but I want you to stand with me. Every one of us, just let's stand before the Lord. And in this moment, before we start to worship Jesus, I want you to, if there's anything that you need to repent of this morning, if you got disconnected with Jesus in any way, if you lost hope, if you lost vision, if you're not even faintly aware of the fact that Jesus will come back soon, won't you ask him this morning to just to grab hold of your heart and your spirit and again ignite something in your heart so that this thing of being a Christian will be a thing of joy. Joy in the Holy Spirit, waiting for Jesus to come back again. And we as a church say this morning, Lord, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Come, Lord. We actually cannot wait for you any longer. Come, Lord, and help us to be ready when you come. So we'll, in your own time, and just in a few quiet moments, I want you just to speak with Jesus. If you need to repent of anything, then it's now time to do it and to make right before the Lord and ask him to bring that fire inside of you. Thank you, Jesus.